It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 386. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me suggestions for future show topics or any tech question. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can send me a voicemail message, and I got three great little voicemails that I'm going to play at the beginning of the show here. The phone number is area code 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. I want to welcome Mosey Pro as a new sponsor of the Mike Tech Show. When it comes to running a successful business, there are many things you have to get right, like hiring good people. But one thing is often overlooked, and that's protecting the data that powers your business. Computers, servers, external hard drives, and even tape backups are vulnerable to failure and data loss. In the U.S. alone, over 140,000 hard drives fail every single week. According to one study, only 7% of companies that lose their data centers for 10 days or more survive beyond a year. I want to tell you about our friends at Mosey, the most trusted name in online backup. They back up more data than the entire written works of mankind from the beginning of recorded history in all languages. Companies like General Electric, Starwood Hotels, and Accenture use Mosey Pro to back up their data. Mosey Pro also backs up educational institutions like Stanford University and the Yale School of Management. If you're not backing up your business data with Mosey Pro, here is a reason you should consider Mosey Pro to back up all your business data. Mosey Pro is easy to use and set up, and it saves you time and costs up to 80% less than other solutions, giving you peace of mind and eliminating the hassle of backing up your data. If your business is not backed up with Mosey Pro, you really need to make sure your data is backed up. Give our friends at Mosey a call. They've been doing this a long time and run the most secure, most trusted online backup service. Right now, you can save 15% by using the promo code PODCAST15. Call 877-669-9776. That's 877-669-9776. Or visit moseypro.com. That's moseypro.com. Let's get started right away. I got the voicemails. I want to talk about some data recovery that I've been doing this week. And then I have been fighting an ugly little virus that's just been a pest. And I'll tell you what I did with that. And then I have some great emails and some follow-ups to some questions and just incredible tips for tonight's show. So let's kick it off here with an autocomplete tip.
Hello, Mike. This is Alan over here in Seattle. Hey, I was listening to show 381, and you were talking about the MK2 for backing up your autocomplete and Outlook, and you were talking about being able to go through and edit those. One thing you might not know is when you're in Outlook and you're typing an email and you accidentally typed the wrong email address and it saves it, next time you go type that, you start to type it and the wrong one shows up. All you need to do is arrow down to that entry and hit delete, and that will get rid of that entry. You can also do this in Internet Explorer and several other programs that have the autocomplete. All you do is arrow down to to where that entry's highlighted, hit your delete button, and it takes it right out of that file that it saves it in. Mike, thanks for the great show. I'm glad I'm getting to catch up, and I hope you have a great Christmas. Look forward to the next show.
Great tip. Thank you. And I've often done that where you type the wrong address to someone, and then it gets bounced back. Then you type it correctly, and they're both in the autocomplete file. And the next time you go to type it, the wrong one comes up. Just hit the delete key while you're on top of it, and it will delete that entry. Here is response to the recommendation from a client of mine that gave a thumbs up to Magic Jack, and I talked about that a few weeks ago.
Mike, this is Charlie in Leesburg, Florida. A few weeks ago, you gave me some information about Magic Jack. I want you to know that I tried it out, and it's great. I'm calling on it right now. But I'd like to make all the listeners aware of one gotcha that can happen to you. If you have DSL and you port your number, you run the risk of having your DSL cut off, which is what happened to me. And it was CenturyLink. They wanted to take 2.5 weeks to rehook me up. As a result, I went to my cable provider. But anyway, Magic Jack worked great for me. I was able to port the number with no trouble. And thank you very much for the tip.
Very good and very interesting that you got to be careful about that with porting numbers. Thank you for that feedback. And the final voicemail, and then we'll get to all the great email.
Hi, Mike. This is Peter from Sudbury, Ontario, Canada. Just calling about show 385. You had mentioned needing something to back up Google Chrome profile settings. One thing that's worked very well for me is using the sync feature within Chrome. It's very easy and convenient. It syncs to your Google account, regardless of what platform you're using, Linux, Windows. For example, I have both, and Google Chrome running on both, and I have my profile synced across both of them. And anytime I need to reinstall Google Chrome or Windows, I just resync the browser, and all my settings are back exactly the way they were when I left it. Also available with Chrome is Gmail and Google Calendar offline app that goes very well with that setup. Anyway, thought that might be of interest to you. Love the show. Sorry you guys don't have an Amazon link that works from Canada. Keep up the good work, Mike.
Thank you for that tip. I am absolutely going to explore Chrome Sync. And he mentioned my not having a Canada link for Amazon, but I do have one for the U.S. I can't have them from contractual reasons with Amazon for other countries, but we're in the middle of December here. And if you are doing that last-minute shopping and Amazon has everything and they have tremendous prices and great shipping and great customer service, use my link. You don't even have to go to my website. All you have to do is type amazon.micnation.net. You can remember that, pass that link on to everybody, or just go to my website. Click on the big Amazon ad on the left-hand side. With your purchase will generate a commission back to the Mike's Tech Show that really helps support the show. And thank you, everybody, for all of your support, not just this month, but all year. Your continued support is greatly appreciated. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. Let's get to some stories from in the trenches that will lead to some of the emails here. Last week on Tech Vets, right before we recorded Tech Vets, I performed a live data recovery on a thumb drive that a client of mine somehow it got corrupted. And her whole life was on this thumb drive and it was not backed up. And Carrie put me on to the Zero Assumption Recovery for $59, the best investment ever made. And it recovered a lot of what she needed, but not 100%. I am still scanning for certain files that were still corrupt, and we may never get it. So it wasn't 100% recovery, but we got a great deal of it back, and that was amazing. Well, this week, I had a client on Wednesday that his HP laptop, there was a situation where this got tossed down steps, literally bounced down concrete steps. The laptop was smashed. It would not boot, clearly. You know, it was really messed up. The question was, did the hard drive survive enough for me to be able to recover the data? I was going to say I took the hard drive out, but most of the case was removed there. The hard drive was almost exposed. I was able to get the hard drive out very easily, took the casing from around the 3.5-inch drive. It was SATA, popped it in my holder that I carry that's SATA to USB, the docking station. I popped that drive in, and it fired right up, and I got 100% of all of the data and recovered it. He now has another laptop that was an older laptop that would consistently blue screen. I mean, we could not boot. Again, this is an older Dell. I think it was a D610. I took the drive out. This one was IDE. So I grabbed my IDE SATA combo cable to USB. I plugged it in, and it fired right up, and I got 100% of the data on that drive. So we were 2 for 2 on Wednesday. Two drives where my client was ecstatic. And then I was actually able to blow away the drive, and we have a great laptop spare. That Dell was savable. It had 2 gigs of memory in it, and there was nothing wrong with the hardware. So I was able to just put XP back on it, and it was fantastic. You feel so good when you're able to do something like that and recover data for a client. And it is a great feeling. And I'm going to have links to very inexpensive components that you should be carrying. They should be part of your toolbox. They should be part of your trunk or your tool bag. And this is that cable that can connect an IDE or SATA drive. And then that docking station, it's so nice to be able to just pop a SATA drive in and just have it come up. And remember, if a drive cannot be read under Windows, plug it into a Mac. I've had data recovery scenarios where a Windows drive, it would not read, connecting it to a Windows 7. Plugged it into a USB cable, and it showed up on my Mac, and I was able to get all the files off and then copy it back over to Windows and then burn it or copy it onto another USB disk. Don't just limit yourself to Windows 7 or Windows Vista. Try Windows XP. Try Linux or a Mac, and you might have success in reading the drive. Speaking of backup and recovery, this is from Jerry, who is in the chat, and he says, after trying out at least 10 different software options, this was the only one I was able to get to work on a specific laptop recovery I had. The link below is for the last free version and then the current paid version. And this is Get Data Back Data Recovery. Their 3.3 version is free. I'll have a link for that. And then their version 4.25, they have paid versions for NTFS and for FAT, just a regular FAT recovery or NTFS file system. Jerry asked, what was the name of the software that you ended up using to recover the data from the USB drive? And that was Zero Assumption Recovery. I spent a lot of time this week fighting the following infection, and that is the Win7 Internet Security 2012. And it looks so good. You could see where a novice seeing this screen, it's constructed so well. And it says, you know, to perform scan now, internet security, personal security, proactive defense. And then it shows that your complete PC protection off, automatic updating off, protection against bank account fraud. Think about this. And it says off. Self-protection from malware off. And it starts doing a scan and it starts telling the user you're infected with all of these things. Well, one of the problems I've had is after cleaning and thinking that the system was clean, it would come back. There's a few things that you have to do for this. And the link on Bleeping Computer leads to links for fixncr.reg. This allows you to combine this registry to your current registry and allows you to be able to click on executables. Because one of the things that it blocks is your ability to double-click an .exe file. Now you got to kill the infection that's running. And you have rkill. And there's a lot of versions of rkill where you can get the iExplorer.exe. And this rkill program will kill the infection, at least from running at that moment. But it doesn't remove it. So now you got to run Malwarebytes to do the final cleaning. So you can perform a full scan and it will get it. Well, after this, I had to do some repairs, did some cleaning, it would come back. And it came back again. And last night, for the last time, I spent hours and hours trying to get the total and complete removal of this infection. And I threw at it combo fix multiple times, Malwarebytes, the portable version of Super Anti Spyware. I've done everything. And then I ran the Windows repair and selected everything to make sure all the permissions of the registry was corrected. I've done everything. And I hope that I do not hear from my client again. I'm going to check in with him tomorrow. And it's been a real hassle. I've been getting this laptop back every day and having to clean it. It's just been horrible. I told him that right now we're at a point, if it comes back, I have a backup of the data. He backs up regularly, so I'm just going to blow everything away. I should have done that, but I just went through the effort of making sure could I remove it. And it was like one of those things that I just didn't want to be stopped. I had to see if I could get this clean. And I didn't want to go through the recovery process. It's a lot of work. And I even disobeyed my own rule, which is my two-hour rule. If you're going to be cleaning beyond 2 hours, you should have redid the system. And I ignored that rule and just kept on going. And let's keep our fingers crossed and see that I was able to remove the infection. This is an email from one of the attendees of the Philadelphia Area Computer Society. And he asked this question, and I didn't get to it for the last session last month. And I said I would cover this on my Mike Tech show this week. So here we go. This is from Reg, and he goes, "Greetings, Mike. I sit front and center for your SIG at PAX each month, and quite frankly, your enthusiasm blows me away. I get excited just because you are excited. However, I'm not a techie, and I know just enough to make that makes me dangerous. Pressing issues. One, now running XP and need to upgrade from XP to Windows 7. But what Windows 7 edition? Money's important. My computer is a 4-year-old Dell with 4 gigs of memory. I've attached a Windows 7 upgrade advisor report and a Bell Arc advisor, both as of today. I absolutely dread reinstalling all my applications, but I assume Bell Arc will provide me with the keys if necessary." And he has a Dell Dimension and he gives me the specs. So let's address this. One, he sent me a link to a long list of Windows 7 versions that he could buy. So the first thing, he went to a place online that has the OEM versions of Windows 7. And there's a whole list of different options of a 30-pack and 32-bit and 64-bit. Now, your system is 64-bit, so I absolutely recommend Windows 7 Home Premium 64-bit, and you can buy the OEM version. I trust Amazon and Newegg for the OEM. If you buy the full retail version, you will get both editions. It's fine to buy the OEM, and we've had debates in the past, and I'm not going to get into the licensing. I know Microsoft says that the OEM licensing is not good. Well, then why do they allow Amazon and Newegg to sell it? So shame on them. You purchase that, that will be fine. The professional version is if you need to connect to a domain controller. Here, you can still talk to servers and you can still map drives to servers, but you cannot officially announce your system as part of the domain if you are Windows 7 Home Premium. Professional allows you to do that. We're not even going to talk about Ultimate because unless you need the data encryption and drive encryption, it's not even worth getting the Ultimate. And to tell you the truth, I'd rather you use TrueCrypt. Instead of getting the Ultimate, I would counsel you into getting Professional and then using TrueCrypt for the encryption. Right now, to me, there's only two versions, Home Premium and Professional. Yes, I know I'm ignoring all those other versions, but in my world, for recommendations, we keep it very simple. Now, the option is 32-bit or 64-bit. I completely ignore 32-bit. If your system cannot run 64-bit, the system is too old. Buy a new computer and run the 64-bit version. To me, the 32-bit version is dead. You buy the 64-bit version, and it's either Home Premium or Professional. Are you connecting to a domain controller or not? Let's keep it very simple and very easy. Buy the OEM version, and I will have a link to it from an Amazon link, so you can purchase that. So that takes care of that version. Now, did an advisory report where Microsoft has a utility that you can run, is your system ready? Don't worry about the software. You're reinstalling. I don't want you to put this CD in or the DVD in and do an upgrade, an in-place upgrade. I want you to blow away the partition. So you're going to back up your data, you're going to blow away your partition, and you're going to do a fresh install. That is the proper way to do your upgrade. You are not going to do an in-place upgrade. All of your hardware is compliant except the Visioneer, and I think that's a scanner, and it had a question mark on that. You'll need to go to your manufacturer and see if there is a 64-bit version of the drivers. See, I'm already getting some flack from Jim in the chat room about my 64 or 32-bit. If you're not a company, now remember, I'm talking to an individual here. If you are a corporation and you have vertical apps that can only run in 32-bit, that's why they have the legacy. That's why they have that 32-bit version for legacy applications and devices and vertical apps. I know they exist. I know they're there. I'm assuming right now that that's not part of this discussion for this email. You should consider, and Jim, for pointing this out in the chat, thank you, because he's right. If you are in an environment that has legacy apps that are critical and they cannot run in 64-bit, or there's a hardware device that you absolutely cannot get to run in 64-bit mode, and you have to run 32-bit, that's the only reason to go 32-bit. What edition of Windows 7 to buy, and where's the cheapest price? Well, I think I know he has a link here. I'm going to link to Amazon, which I think is at great prices for the OEM version. And then finally, I really tried to keep everything up to date, but I'm sure I have too many programs installed and, of course, too many of these running at startup. I really have no idea where to start with this. Ideas. Yes. If you run msconfig, which comes with all of your operating systems, you can go to startup. And in there, you can uncheck pretty much everything except the following. Here's what a good rule of thumb. any encryption software that's part of the drive. You need to know what those brands are, what the manufacturer is of that encryption software, and you will see that there's a program with that name in it. Your antivirus, if you have Symantec or McAfee or Avira, there's going to be a link there. So you can make sure that that is checked. Anything that has to do with your audio, your sound card, or your ATI or Intel, your video card, I keep them. Sometimes printers, HP, Epson, they will put drivers that automatically load. If you're going to scan back to the computer, you need to have them. Most of the things you don't need that printing software put in there. iTunes Helper, you don't need it. Adobe Acrobat Helper, no. There are a ton of other programs, uncheck them. The worst case, you can run msconfig again and check it. As a matter of fact, if you are on with tech support, with a lot of companies, they will have you uncheck everything and reboot your system while you're on the phone. Everything they'll have you uncheck because that's the cleanest way to boot. I always keep the obvious checked. And if you don't know, well, Google it and see what is that program. And then you might want to, I would say, when in doubt, leave it checked. Take out the Adobe. Take out all the things for Java. Take out the QuickTime. All those things, they are starting up and they are unnecessary for your startup. They're clogging your CPU. They're slowing your boot time. And that is just my rule of thumb on that. Mike, I really look forward to your monthly SIG enlightenments. I like that word. And I've learned a great deal listening to you. If I can keep up, I trust all this info is an overkill, and I just wanted to provide you with as much info as you might possibly need. I wish you an excellent day, Mike. Thanks. That is excellent email. Reginald, thank you so much for asking this, certainly for your enthusiasm of attending my sessions at the Philadelphia Area Computer Society, which I will be presenting this Saturday, and we're going to be talking about the ultimate guide cleaning infections from systems. I'm looking forward to that. I got a great presentation ready. This email is from Jason. Mike, warning, long email. Sorry, but so many great features. I keep hearing you talk about using Nynite. However, if you're not using the pro version, you are really missing out, especially if you have contract clients or have a lot of computers in a shop. Nynite Pro will allow you to download and use a program called Nynite One. This allows you to run the program from a USB stick or network share. Best of all, it can cache the programs on your USB drive, and you don't have to wait on them to download every time you use Nynite. I wrote a batch file to update the cache on the USB drive, and that way, I update it every day or two, and I don't have to wait when I'm on site at my clients, since all the programs I want are on my USB stick. Side note, if you use Nynite a lot from one IP address, Nynite will block that IP address's ability to use the Nynite service. They will say you need to upgrade to the pro version due to the large amount of usage. I never knew that. This is very informative. Also, with the pro version, you can do other things like disable auto update notifications. We all know that no one seems to pay any attention to the Adobe Reader, Flash, or Java popping up asking you to update it. So why annoy your clients with these things, especially contract clients? One major new feature that Nynite recently added is the ability to do a remote network install of the programs to all the computers on your network at once. And let me just say that this is awesome. I can update every computer on my client's network while sitting at one computer with just a couple clicks. And it also shows me the status of each computer. And if anything failed on each computer, This can be done even while users continue to work since it has a silent background install option. One other thing I have been doing is using the task scheduler to keep all the programs up to date. At some of my smaller clients, I set up 9.8 on a network share and have a bat file run weekly to update the network share's cache of the programs. Then also weekly on each PC, I have a bat file run via the task scheduler to update the programs on the client PCs. This keeps Acrobat, Java, Flash, and other programs up to date and helps to keep the clients from getting viruses. Of course, I always set this to do this at night time when no one is in the office. I use a program called SwitchOff to reboot the computer several hours later to make sure the PC is ready for the client when they come in. Besides, it will help keep their PCs refreshed since it seems that a lot of people will never restart their computer, so this kills two birds with one stone. How cool is this, and how many times have we asked, and I know I've asked, what's the best way to update all these programs on a regular basis for your clients? This is good stuff. I'm going to continue here. He goes on, so if you have a shop or on-site clients, 9.8 Pro is a must. Needless to say, time is money. And why waste it? I use the 9.8 Pro, WSUS Offline Updater, FABS Auto Backup for Tech, and Katarian to keep our shop running at top efficiency. Since we repair over 150 computers a month in our shop, plus a ton of service calls, I have all my techs set up with a flash drive with all these tools to make them efficient as possible. Besides, who likes to sit at a client's business or home and stare at the screen waiting on a download or update? Hope this helps you and some of your listeners. By the way, love the show. Keep up the awesome work. P.S. Below are some examples of the batch file I have made. Just copy the text to the notepad and save as a batch file and place it in the same directory as 9.8.1.exe file. You may want to share this with your listeners. It took a little figuring out on my part to get this all going. He has a silent update, update only, and update cache. He has a lot of links that I am going to put in the show notes. He has, of course, all of the pro features, the 9.8 command line switches, the switch off download link, Katarian, WSUS offline updater, and I know a lot of you have mentioned this, and the author of this program has asked me to become an affiliate, and I haven't spent the time to do this, and I know I got to do it, and that's for the FABS Auto Backup for Tech. I can't wait to have them in the show notes. Jason, thank you so much for taking the time to put that email together and all those recommendations. Thank you. This is from Rob. The Western Digital Media Center is priced low through Amazon. Remember I said that Western Digital Live Hub that I have, the price went up to $199. It went back down to $179. So great price. It's still there. This is from MS Small Biz. I had a problem last week with my website after the show, and it was down. And I, live in the post show, fought with GoDaddy to get it back. And it was on their part. There was a problem with a fast CGI that was bringing my site down. And it wasn't me. Well, MS Small Biz sent me the link to same IP. How many people are on my shared server with me? So he looked up my IP address and sent it to me. There's 190 sites. 190 sites on the same server that my show is hosted on. And when you look at the names of those sites, let's just say many, many of them are not family friendly. So that may explain performance issues on the, no pun intended, on the for getting access to the show. But this is something to consider, to take a look at your IP address, and that is sameip.org. Thank you for that link. Outlook backup. Because, you know, we talked about last week about backing up Outlook data. Hello, Mike. Thank you for the Outlook PDF file and the very detailed explanation on backing up Outlook files. Have you tried Backup for All Pro? No, I haven't. If anybody has used that and you have any kind of review or information, I would appreciate it. This is from Fred, and a great warning. And he says, I heard you on 12.8 program read an email about increasing your consulting revenue by reselling components. Your business will be subject to sales tax charges, hassle for you locally. Yes. And I do have to pay sales tax because I charge sales tax on my hardware and I have to pay it. And it's just, it's a pain in the butt, but it's a cost of doing business and you have to do it. And I do it. That is it for tonight's show. No music for tonight's show. Thank you very much for downloading and staying subscribed to the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for all your support. Remember, my Amazon link for all your purchases. Thank you, and I will talk to you same time, same channel next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.